All right.
Ready to go.
I'll call the summer BOE to order here with Chuck, Danny, myself on phone, James, Donna, Tim Hughes. James, I believe you have a case you'd like to bring before the board?
Yeah, this is strictly a tax code case. Bob is here now. And, this these laws were all passed in August. It appears all the laws on this issue were passed in August of 2009. One talks about cities with population of 2,500, and then others is talking about the acquisition of land from one district to the other.
Actually, James, the one that you gave me,
yeah,
it does say August 28th, 2009 at the top, but that's the effective date. It may have been amended, but the legislation was actually passed in 1947.
Okay. All right.
So, James, you're asking for a tax code change, is that right?
Yeah, but this is going to be a huge issue with those districts. But it also affects, Jim, if we make the change, it'll affect the voting also. So there, it's a huge issue on getting the tax code right. Bob has some argument that I'd like for him to talk to you about. And
well, first of all, I don't know that it's the job of this board, the Board of Equalization, to set anything but the values of these properties. Basically, we're to review the assessment process based upon appeals and equalization and all that sort of thing. This is an issue of districts and what districts people are in. I don't know that the assessor sets districts, and he doesn't set levies. The people are being double taxed in a district, but they are in the districts they're in, and I don't know that the assessor sets those districts.
Okay. How are districts set, Bob?
I believe districts are set by annexation, and they're determined, I guess, in the clerk's office is where I would say that it's done, and let Donna dispute that if that's not true.
Donna?
Just needed to get a mic, Jim. Basically, if we receive an annexation, then we make an adjustment for voting. We have nothing to do with the tax database or the tax codes. Each office receives that. When we get an annexation, by law, the assessor has to have that information. We make sure the mapping department gets that information in 911, and then, it affects us for who gets to vote. Has nothing to do with taxation, though.
But you set what the Central Taney County Fire District boundaries are for purposes of voting, and you set the City of Forsyth districts for the purpose of voting. And if those intersect, those areas are in both, and you've set those, or theoretically, you've set those in both. And that's what the assessor would use to determine. He doesn't just make up his own boundaries. He uses yours to decide which district they're in. He uses those districts.
Well, those boundaries are not really my boundaries. They're the boundaries of the political subdivision.
I agree.
And then that information is sent to the mapping department in the IS department, and they pull that information in by program, or if they have to write the program, or not necessarily write the program, but then define the lines, that's where it's done there. And then they confer with the assessor's maps to make sure that they're in matching. In fact, this last year, we found inconsistencies between our map, the IS department's map, and the assessor's map. And we brought that attention to everybody, and we worked to resolve those issues. And at that time, I thought we had completed all of that.
But the key is to get them in the district that they're in. If they're in Central Taney County Fire and they're in the City of Forsyth, they're in two districts. Would that not be correct?
I understand your statement by the tax code, but is it our responsibility to determine whether that's correct or not? Wouldn't that be between the two political subdivisions?
I'm just saying that it's the clerk's job, maybe not for the purposes of tax, but for the purposes of the clerk's office. When it comes to setting political boundaries, you don't set the political boundaries. You simply reflect them upon your maps, because you have to know where people vote and all that sort of thing. And you get the information from the cities, the mapping department, wherever you get those. But it's based upon the boundaries of the districts as they were voted.
Yes, and it's based on what the political subdivisions turn into us. If we have a conflict between two political subdivisions, that being a city and a fire district, I would think that would be for them to resolve. Perhaps we should bring it to their attention, but certainly that could be a dispute. And in fact, I understand there's been a lawsuit in the past between a fire district and the city of Branson.
But you can be in we lost Jim. But you can be in more than one district at the same time.
We have that all over the county.
This is very interesting. What are we going to do with it?
That's why I brought it.
Jim, sorry about that.
Okay, you can be in more than one district at the time. For instance, where I vote, I'm in the 7th Congressional District. I'm in the 143rd State Rep District. I'm in an unincorporated area of the county, and I'm in the Western Taney County Fire District. It happens that the individuals in the subject area happen to be within two political subdivisions that provide the same service, which would seem duplicative, and therefore it would seem that they're being double taxed. But they still are within two political subdivisions.
As I said before, I think that's an issue for the two political subdivisions to resolve. It's my understanding, and this is just a basic understanding from speaking with, for instance, the city of Branson, once they annex in an area, they have to provide utilities and whatnot to that area within a certain period of time. And that, in some cases, is also fire protection.
I don't see that we have anything for this BOE.
So James, you brought this law here, started this. You were mentioning the new statute or whatnot. Or is there an issue? What do you think?
I don't believe it's a new statute. I think it was passed in 1947.
Well, they passed 321-322 on August 28th, I'm assuming.
No.
Where they dropped the number to 2,500?
Which one are you looking at?
There's like a bunch of statutes been passed.
321, 322.
And I talked to the fire district man yesterday, and he said they've dropped that number of 2,500 population from 10,000 to 5,000.
Do you have the rest of it?
Thanks.
Okay. This statute that you're talking about was legislation from 1985, and according to this, it was amended in 1986, it was amended in 1988, amended in 1990, 91, 99, 2000, and 2005. So last time it was amended, it looks like, according to this readout, 2005. In 2005, it looks like House Bill 58 was merged with Senate Bill 210 when it was amended.
And that would strictly be to wait for the census count of Forsyth to see what it went to. It talks about you have to have a population of 2,500 to do something in the changing of the...
In the last census, Forsyth had 1,800. There's a statute that says that after a period of time, they automatically go into the city and are out of Central, and it calls for some other things. But basically, it's when you have 2,500 residents. How do you determine whether the city of Forsyth has 2,500 residents when the last census in 2000 said that they had 1,800? That may even have been low. Maybe they have 2,600 now. Maybe they don't. So
are you saying
your recommendation that we just do not not the authority of the BOE?
I don't think there's any action for you to take. They're either in two districts or they're not, and if they're in two districts, I don't think you can say Forsyth gets it or Central Taney gets it and they're not in both districts. That puts you right smack in the middle of a battle between Central and Forsyth. There are statutes that provide for them, Forsyth and Central, to be able to agree to how this is to be handled. They can get together and amicably take care of this. If I lived in the district, I might consider, if it meant enough to me, filing a lawsuit and saying I'm being double taxed and ask that it be put in escrow, just one tax, and let them fight over it. You know, something along those lines. But for BOE to get in the middle of that, I mean, I don't think it's BOE's battle. I don't think it's the assessor's battle.
Okay.
This might be a dumb question, but our districts are... noted with the code?
Yes.
How do you code that when you've got Central Taney and Forsyth?
It's coded both ways. It's in both.
If it's Forsyth, for instance, then it just has an F at the end. And if, for instance, in the city of Branson, they have their own fire district, so that would be a B. And the one just before that determines the fire district. Well, once it goes into the city of Branson or into the city of Forsyth, eventually that should change from the fire district.
No.
Should no longer be receiving any tax after a certain period of time.
Not unless there's 2,500 people. It may not change. Basically, when they were annexed into Forsyth, they got a new tax code, which was the city of Forsyth. And they're taxed on many things, not just fire. But they never de-annexed from Central Taney County Fire. So they are in both districts currently, and it's not up to the BOE to say you're no longer in Central Taney County Fire District, because they are in Central Taney County Fire District, and they are in the city of Forsyth. They shouldn't morally or any other way be paying a double tax. However, somebody needs to fix the statutes, or somebody needs to file a lawsuit to prevent that from happening. But it's not our business to say you're not in both districts. They are in both districts, unless there's a statute that allows us to take them out of one of the districts. And I don't see a statute that allows that.
And what, Bob?
The reason I ask the question is the clerk's office, we don't have a problem with the code.
Not that I'm aware of, unless...
Everything's working the way it is, except it is what you just described, Bob, that people are maybe paying double taxation.
And it's not right, but...
That's not right, but my point, I guess, was there's not a problem with the clerk's office.
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, we'll be happy to check his tax code and make sure. We just did that. Mr. Hust here just worked with the assessor's office and the...
As far as we know, everything's right. There can always be mistakes anywhere, but as far as we know, everything else is working great. It's working great. The only problem is people are, in my opinion, being unfairly taxed twice for the same service, but they are in both districts. And it's not our job to say that you shouldn't tax them for this. We're not in the business of tax. We're in the business of assessment.
Right.
And they are, if we've got the correct value on the property and we've got them in the proper district or districts, then there's nothing else for us to do. The levies are applied by the collector once she gets them from the political subdivisions, or you do that. I'm sorry, the clerk does that. So, you know, the fact that more than one subdivision is applying their levy. The city of Forsyth has a levy for different reasons, but included in their reasons is fire protection.
Exactly.
So it's really a civil matter. Is that what we're saying then? Is it, I mean, basically, if you feel like if you're being double taxed, they deal with it, not the BOE.
Yeah. What he means by double tax is that Forsyth, double fire protection. Although it's unclear who would serve as the fire protection. I mean. Since they're in the city, is the city going to send their fire trucks out, or it's
well? I think right now they're in both fire districts, and both fire districts are equally responsible for that area.
You would be the chief on a fire. I don't have a question popped into my mind. So, James, or what about you? I mean, you kind of brought this up, I think.
Well, they've been brought to my attention by certain taxpayers, of course, looking at their tax bill, which is past the assessment, but the districts are formed by turning annexation papers to the clerk. We've had many times the city of Branson would not turn their annexation papers in for 2 or 3 years. They'd just be in a file somewhere. So as far as setting those codes, yes, it is. It's our responsibility to put them there, but they have to be checked by another authority to see if it fits the legal description, totally away from my mapping department. Now, I know they say they've corrected a few issues. The county clerk's office corrected a few issues. They were minute issues, not amounting to hardly anything. Maybe across the street versus on one side of the street type thing.
All that is just cleanup work, just making sure all of our data is consistent. That's all that was.
But as far as the assessor's report, we get on district lines what we are turned over by the clerk.
But basically, this is the same situation that occurred between Western Taney County Fire District. It is very similar, the issues, and the city of Branson. And the two of them were involved in litigation for, I think, 8 years over the subject. Okay? So this is a very similar, if not exactly the same situation. And if the districts can, there is a process set forth in 321.322 if the city has a population between 2,500 and 40,000, which I think does not apply to the city of Forsyth, but I don't know for sure using
the census.
Yes. So, you know, what do? You can't follow this process, so there isn't a process unless the two districts agree upon and come to some sort of agreement on how it will be treated. So it's up to the two districts or the people in the district to straighten this out. I mean, it'd be nice if we could straighten it out, but I think we're meddling in somebody else's affairs.
Danny, Chuck, you kind of agree, or you agree?
I made the statement while you was off the phone that I don't think the BOE has any position in this.
Okay. Chuck, you same way?
I'm good. Again, if James is okay.
I just seen the issue, and I thought it ought to be, I mean, it shouldn't be in under, the, I
we
think it ought to be
take action since we brought it up?
So I brought it up.
We have no BOE number.
So we're not going to take action because there's no BOE number. So, all right.
Sorry for the inconvenience.
That's
you
right.
Guys. I just thought it was a huge issue, and
it is a huge issue.
Something that I called Kelly Trumbull. Could you come up to the mic, Cindy? Just informing you that when I called Kelly Trumbull about the meeting this morning to let him be aware that a meeting had been called, he said he was on his way because he wanted also to bring up an issue about the airport. And he said, since we're meeting anyway, I'll be there, and I'll be there 15 or 20 minutes late. So he's expecting, he'd like to put some input about the airport.
That'll be fun. Why don't we recess until he gets there?
I think we should.
Well, we did have Melissa run a report. We are currently in balance between the two books. We did find some. We ran a report to see if there was anything without a decision, and Cindy's been working on that. Could we get a general motion similar to the one that you made last year, that if there's anything that we haven't addressed, that be denied so they can go on to the State Tax Commission? We had, have you resolved all of it yet?
Catch
all.
Okay.
I think there's not any.
Which means that any issue that Kelly brings up is moot, so.
After Kelly comes.
After Kelly comes, okay.
Right, yeah.
Well, let us recess until Mr. Trimble comes in, so.
I'd like for a phone call to be made to make sure he's coming.
You want to check
because
that?
Because that was okay. Said more
all than right, we'll recess.
5 minutes ago.
Yeah. And just to clarify, just before we recess, Cindy
recess.
Said that was, we believe it is a technical issue, but we want to make sure of that. We're going to go through every single line to make sure that
okay.
We haven't missed anybody, but we believe we have.
And there has to be a direction on the airport motion. The motion's fine the way it stands. It was talked about, but I don't know whether you wanted to include it in your motion. To this point, we've not had any contact with the airport over personal property, and I know it was brought up, they owe personal property, and I don't think that was ever put in a form of
it was not
by this BOE for me to go get that.
Okay.
Because it's never been volunteered to us.
All right, we'll bring that up, too. Let me write
personal
those
property.
In.
And what about the issue that you two were researching yesterday on the Russ Cook 200 properties? Did you find out whether it was 50, 55, 45? Did you guys resolve that issue?
Yeah.
Okay.
And on the personal property, that's something the BOE doesn't need to work on. The personal property book is a live book, so James can add that on at any time.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'd like for it to, they, you talked at it with the real, and you go get the personal property, and I remember comments in that nature.
We covered personal property in some aspect, but I don't
basically
know.
How it was related to the real, maybe a motion saying there are properties that, aren't real out there, so you need to go put on the personal property or something to that effect.
I think Mr. Oliphant was pretty adamant in it. And if you don't want to address it, that's fine, but I'm going to get it.
You might ask James to do it, but I don't want a motion made in BOE because we don't adjust the personal property books, not through BOE. James can adjust that at any time.
All right. I've got four things listed down. We'll go recess until Mr. Trimble gets here.